Price of stamps rising again? We'll find out today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today is September 30th, which means the government's fiscal year is over and Congress was supposed to have a new budget last night. Instead, lawmakers adjourned without passing that new spending plan. They just extended the current budget until December, and they'll deal with it after the election. One of the many funding issues has to do with the Postal Service. The Post Office will learn today whether it can raise the price of a stamp from 44 to 46 cents to help with its budget crisis. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington. Hi, John.
Good morning, Bill.
Is the Post Office going broke?
It ran a deficit of nearly $4 billion last year, and it's on track to lose another $7 billion this year. And all that's despite a continuing decline in the volume of mail, thanks to the internet and private deliveries. It's also despite cutting 36,000 jobs over the past couple years.
So how does the Post Office justify this rate increase that is way above inflation?
They say that they're stuck with too many post offices and forced to deliver lots of junk mail, even on Saturdays, to all sorts of out-of-the-way places for very little money. But, you know, lawmakers, as well as the folks who use the service a lot, say the post office is refusing to make tough decisions to lay off unneeded workers and stop paying lavish salaries and pension benefits. Of more immediate concern is a warning from the post office that it's going to run out of cash sometime next month. Congress punted on the question of what to do about that. The post office is asking for permission to delay a required payment for retiree health benefits, and it wants to stop Saturday deliveries. And those are just some of the many issues that Congress is going to have to deal with after the election.
Yes, after the election. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in Asia and Europe, about 0.5%. Moody's Investors Service is the latest credit rating agency to downgrade Spain's government debt. That doesn't help confidence in the world economy. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Industrials slipped 22 points, that's 0.2%, to settle at 10,835. Shares of Nintendo are down almost 10% in Japan today. The electronics giant has announced its much-anticipated 3DS handheld console. It's not going to be out in time for the holiday season. From London, here's the BBC's John Bithrie.
The 3DS is the first gaming device to offer the full 3D viewing experience, and you don't need special glasses. Nintendo wants the 3DS to be as successful as their Wii, but they've disappointed fans and investors alike by saying the device won't be ready in time for the holidays. Matt Martin from the website gamesindustry.biz says a pre-Christmas release would have boosted flagging console sales.
They've taken a hit like everything else, and I think this year in particular has been slow and there's been a decline. But yeah, I think the 3DS next year will be a kind of catalyst that will help boost the market and boost entertainment generally.
The computer gaming market is fiercely competitive, with Nintendo up against Sony and Microsoft, both of whom have launched enhancements to their gaming stations. But for Nintendo fans in the US waiting for the 3D handheld experience, they'll have to hang on until March. In London, I'm the BBC's John Bithrie for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
What do you think of when I say Basil? A cantankerous B&B proprietor in a British comedy? That's a fine answer, but if you knew Basel III is a new set of international banking regulations, I'm very impressed. Our friend David Brancaccio has been studying Basel III as part of a new marketplace beat called Economy 4.0, about the quest for a better financial system. Welcome, David.
Glad to be here.
So I know that world leaders are set to ratify the new Basel banking rules later this fall. I also know that bank rules are deathly boring, correct?
au contraire. Actually, you know, there's a fascinating paradox for those of us who are not bankers for a living. On the one hand, Basel might avert the need for another bank bailout, always nice, yet the rules encourage stability by making banks hold on to more of their capital, which some worry could make them less likely to lend money to you and me.
How do these new rules work?
It's a way to force banks to have a thicker mattress stuffed with cash and other easy-to-access capital. Now, it's not good enough to have assets. They have to be more of the kind a bank can quickly use if a bunch of creditors show up wanting their money.
And how are those rules going over so far?
Well, I spoke with the experts about this, the great and the good, but some of the most useful wisdom I got was from a small businessman. Kelly Conklin runs a cabinet-making company in Jersey. These Basel folks adjusting capital reserves is all well and good, he says. But what about times like now, when lending is frustratingly tight?
I think we have to go back and think about the way banks think. They're going to have to change the way they think as well. They can't just adjust it mechanically. They're going to have to just adjust it somewhat philosophically. They're going to have the flexibility of mind at the bottom to see that the way out of the bottom is to make this credit available. It's not so much about reserves per se as it is about how you use those reserves.
In the U.S., the Federal Reserve controls this, so maybe flexibility will come that way.
David, I want to know, why do you care so much about this stuff?
Well, this new marketplace, Economy 4.0 Beat, is about tracking efforts to re-engineer the financial system and to look at whether or not it can be made to better serve more people, like, for instance, Mr. Conklin, who we just heard from. Some say Basel is the biggest international response yet to how the banking system can be fixed, and I think we should monitor these new rules of the road.
We'll be monitoring this stuff together. Marketplace's special correspondent, David Brancaccio, thank you.
My pleasure.
And finally, the cups used by the Canadian coffee shop chain Tim Hortons may be a new source of biofuel. University of Manitoba researchers say Tim Hortons cups, when shredded, are hospitable to fuel-producing bacteria in a way that, say, Starbucks cups are not. So look for that new ad campaign. Tim Hortons, more hospitable to bacteria than Starbucks. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.